Okay, the Mishnah of Pesachim, which becomes one of the centerpieces of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Mishnah of Pesachim in the 10th parak tells us that anyone who doesn't say these three things has not fulfilled his obligation on Pesach. A person has to say Pesach, Matzah, Umar. And of course, to say them doesn't just mean to declare those magic three words, Pesach, Matzah, Umar. But it means a person has an obligation to talk about and to expound and to explain what is Pesach, what is Matzah, and what is Mar. And then the Mishnah goes on and it says, where it's bolded, B'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim. Every single Jew and every single generation has to view himself as if he left Mitzrayim, ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim, as if he left Mitzrayim. As if he left Mitzrayim. There's Mayim Makomos over there. As if he left Mitzrayim. So what exactly are we trying to do when we come to the Seder and we're pretending ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim? It's interesting, you look in the Lashon that the Baal HaTanya has, in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he changes the Lashon a little bit, ki'ilu ata, as if right now he's leaving Mitzrayim. So, am I leaving Mitzrayim now? Am I commemorating leaving Mitzrayim now? What exactly is taking place? So obviously on the most basic level, we're trying to remember what it was like, that once upon a time, our ancestors were in Mitzrayim. I was never in Mitzrayim, but our ancestors were in Mitzrayim. And that, of course, matters to us. But how am I going to relate to something that happened so long ago? So the answer is, I have to close my eyes, and maybe I have to even act it out and demonstrate, to get to a point where I can appreciate ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim, that by way of our ancestors leaving Mitzrayim, it's as if I left Mitzrayim. That's level one. Level two is, hold on a second. If my ancestors hadn't left Mitzrayim, like it says in the Haggadah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't taken us out of Mitzrayim, I'd still be in Mitzrayim. So in a certain sense, even in a deeper sense, I really did leave Mitzrayim. I myself have to have a Karas HaTov, not just by way of my ancestors. That if not for Kadosh Baruch Hu providing that chesed for my ancestors, like again, like the Lashon of Haggadah says, had Hashem not taken us out, we would still be sitting in Mitzrayim. A famous question, you know, eventually we would have gotten out of Mitzrayim. Hashem set a maximum time limit from the beginning. But in a certain sense, we believe that Hashem did a very personal favor to me. And I want to be able to thank Hashem for that on the night of the Seder, and I do that by recreating those feelings. But I think there's a third dimension, the deepest level of all, what we're trying to do on the Seder night. And it's not just about appreciating what Hashem did for our ancestors, and not even, by way of extension, appreciating what Hashem did for us, but it's trying to recreate the same exact atmosphere by which they got out of Mitzrayim, to make it possible for us to get out of our Mitzrayim, to get out of the current gullus that we've been sitting in for almost 2,000 years. That if we could somehow tap into whatever it is that they tapped into long ago, we can achieve a geula in the same way that they achieved a geula. What exactly does that mean? So if you look in source number 2, Rav Menachem Nachum of Chernobyl, the Rebbe of Chernobyl in the Morei Naim, in Parsha Sav, says an unbelievable thing. He says, you know, it's very confusing. Look at the different Midrashim. Were the Jews doing great in Mitzrayim? Were they falling apart in Mitzrayim? Were they on the 49th level of Tumah in Mitzrayim? Or were they guarded in Arayos, and they kept their names, and they kept their clothing, and they didn't change their language, right? So were the Jews in a low place? Were they not in such a low place? Were they in a good place? Were they not such a good place? It's very confusing, you look at the Midrashim. But the bottom line is, Chazal tell us that when Klal Yisrael got to the Yam, as they're about to cross, all of a sudden there was a tremendous kitrug, there was this tremendous complaint against them at the sea. And the complaint went as follows, where it's bolded in source number 2. Al Hayam Haya Kitrug, there was a taina, there was an accusation issued against them by the sea. Eilu ve'eilu hayu ovdei avodah zara. Why should the Jews live and the Egyptians die? What makes these Jews on the 49th level of Tumah? They're a moment away from complete spiritual destruction. So what makes them worthy of being saved and the Egyptians should come to their death at the sea? It's a good question. Says the Morei Naim, v'imkein kasha be'emes eich nigalu. Yes, in truth, how were the Jewish people saved? What was it? What merit did we have that actually created the geula for us, that allowed us to be saved? And he says a very deep thing. Look what he says. Ach b'mitzrayim osu Yisrael kol ha-seder b'layla ka'avaya kitzurasa k'mo sha'anu osim v'ayu misaprim b'yisiyas Mitzrayim. Those Jews, before they left Egypt, you have to understand, they hadn't left yet. They're about to leave. They're hopeful they're about to leave. They've been working towards getting out of Mitzrayim. But now it's the Seder night. Those Jews, says the Morei Naim, sat and they had a Seder, the same way that we do, and they were Mesaprim b'Yisrael Mitzrayim, they spoke about their own redemption, which had yet to occur, which was about to occur. We know, you know, it did occur, but they were trying to what? They were trying to create the redemption by believing in a redemption that was about to happen before it even happened. Look what he says. Shayu ma'aminim. They said, animamin v'muna shlema, shebevada yihyu yotzim, that we are going to get out of Mitzrayim. Uva'osan achasadim shemshichu nigalu. And by believing in Hashem's ability to save them, that brought about, that was the final step they needed to take to bring about their geula. And says the Mori Naim, the same thing is true with us. That we also have the ability, through our emunah, in the absolute belief that Hashem will save us, despite nearly 2,000 years of disappointment. The belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us and will save us, makes it possible for Hashem to save us. What does emunah mean? What does the word emunah mean? Belief is not some abstract idea. We just had it in Megillas Esther. That Mordechai was omein es hadassah. What does it mean Mordechai was omein es hadassah? It means Mordechai raised Hadassah. He provided for her, he cared for her, he nurtured her. So emunah creates something. It creates a spiritual reality. Those Jews in Mitzrayim believed that they could be redeemed, and that created the redemption. And therefore, we're going to discuss tonight is how when a Jew comes to the Seder, it's not just a throwback. It's not just a zecher. It's not even a zecher where we're trying to relive something of the past. But we're trying to tap into the same thing that they tapped into to bring about their geula. We are trying to do the exact same thing to bring about our geula. Now, we have to tie this into the bigger picture of life itself, because if the whole purpose of our existence is to bring the world to perfection, is to get to Mashiach, so it has to be that the very creation of the world has this theme woven into it. What do I mean by that? The B'nai Yisrael, in source number 3, raises a very interesting problem, a paradox of sorts, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to deal with in creating the world. Hashem likes us to justify our existence. Hashem wants us to be a partner with Him in making this world a meaningful place, in making our own lives meaningful. So Hashem ran into the following problem when He wanted to create the world. Hashem says, I want man to justify his existence. The problem is, I don't exist yet. So how do I prove to Hashem that I deserve to exist before I exist? It's a very deep problem. So says the Medrash, B'nai Yisrael quotes it in his Ma'amarim on Shabbos. He says in the first line of source number 3, he says, Hinei Amru Chazal, V'maisa Bereishis Nimlach B'nishmoseim Shel Tzadikim Tchila. So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? When Hashem was creating the world, the Medrash says, He sought the counsel and the advice of the souls of the Tzadikim, who had yet to be created. What does Hashem want from them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to figure out, by what merit does man deserve to exist? So you know what Hashem did? Hashem, who operates, says the B'nai Yisrael, outside of time, Hashem, who past and future, it's all the same by Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the future. And you know what Hashem saw? Hashem saw all the people in this room on a Thursday night coming out to learn Torah together. And Hashem said, wow, that is beautiful. And that gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu such a nachas ruach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, before we even existed, Hashem said, knowing what the Jews are going to do in the future, that's enough of a justification to create them now. So what do you see? You see that woven into the very fabric of creation is what? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give us something on loan, in advance. Hashem was willing to create the world based on what we're going to do. And that's the B'nai Yisrael, what the Medrash means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the neshamos of the tzaddikim. Hashem looked at the righteous acts throughout the generations, and used that as almost ki'ilu, with our merit of what we're going to do to create us now. So you see, again, built into the very fabric of creation, Is this deal that we have worked out with Hashem. Hashem, you give me something now, and I'll pay you back later. And that's how the Jews got out of Mitzrayim. The Jews said, Hashem, listen, we're on a very low level, we're not deserving of the geula, but we believe that there's a geula somewhere out there, that you want to give us the geula. I know we're not worthy of it, but can we just borrow it from you? Can we borrow from our own geula that has yet to occur and to bring it into the now? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to such a thing. And that becomes, again, the foundation of what we're trying to achieve on the Seder night. Where once again, Mashiach is out there. Mashiach's in place. And we're going to try in some way, the same way that those Jews sat in Mitzrayim, drawing on their own redemption that had yet to occur. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked to the merits of those people, the mitzvahs we will do before we even did them. So too on the Seder night, we're trying to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a loan. Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you look in source number 5, there's a piyut that some people, and most kehilas don't do this anymore, there's still a few, right? But you look in the back of the Siddur, at the very least, you know, we still print it in the Siddur so as not to disgrace these beautiful tefillos, right? To add in, as part of the musaf, during the Dalet Parsha, special additional prayers, additional tefillos. So in the piyut that some people incorporate into the Musaf this Shabbos, the Musaf for Parshas HaChodesh, you find the following line. HaChodesh asher Yeshuos bo makifos. Chodesh Nisan is the month where Yeshuos are makifos. Pashup Shat, what does it mean? Salvation is makifos. We're surrounded by geula, surrounded by redemption, surrounded by salvation. Miracles on all sides. That's the Pashup Shat. But says the Piyazetz the Rebbe, on page number 2, in source number 6, he brings from his father a very beautiful explanation. What else does the word makif mean? We're entering into the month where salvation is makif. What does makif mean? Makif can mean to surround. What else can it mean? So he said, my father used to explain, the Piyazetz the Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh, who died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shem. In 1940, Tafshin, Parshas HaChodesh, he quoted from his father and said, in Pirkei Avos it says that the Chenvani, the storekeeper, is Makif al Pinkaso. The storekeeper, Hashem, is Makif, gives on credit, and he records it al Pinkaso, he writes it in his ledger. So the word Makif could mean what? To give something on credit. It says in the Piyazetz Narebi, what does it mean? Shemakifin Yeshua's gam lemisha ino roi. That this is the month we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, if once upon a time we were on the 49th level of Tumah, and we found a way to negotiate a deal with you to get ourselves out of Mitzrayim, well, guess what? We want to renegotiate once again. We want to negotiate the final geula. So Hashem says back to us, but you're on level 50. So I know you're thinking, level 50? I thought it's not possible to fall to level 50. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that in the days before the coming of Mashiach, we're going to fall to level 50. And we're going to have to turn to Hashem and say, listen, Hashem, we're really desperate. We're really, really desperate. And Hashem says, no problem. This is the Chodesh Asher Yeshuos Bo Makifos, where I'm willing to give you a salvation on credit. I'm willing to lend you a salvation in advance, knowing that what? Knowing that you're going to do great things for me in the future. And that's what we're trying to create. That's what we're trying to recreate on the Seder night. And I want to show you just how precise this is in the themes of the Seder and in the night of Tesvav Nisan. How again, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Kilu Hu Yatzar Mitzrayim, is not remember what they did. It's to do what they did so that we can do the same thing. There's a famous machlokes in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, when was the world created? When did the geula take place? And when will the future geula take place? A machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says in source number 7, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, B'tishrei nivra ha'olam. The world was created in Tishrei. The Avos were born in Tishrei. The Avos died in Tishrei. Yitzchak was the exception. Yitzchak was born on Pesach. On Rosh Hashanah, Sarah and Rachel and Chanah, they received news of becoming pregnant. On Rosh Hashanah, Yosef went out of jail. All sorts of things that happened throughout history. Says Rabbi Eliezer, where it's bolded, B'nisan nig'alu, in the past, in Nisan, we were redeemed, but B'tishrei asidin ligal. The final redemption, Mashiach is going to come in the month of Tishrei. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Comes along Rabbi Yoshua, and says, I disagree. Rabbi Yoshua says, B'nisan nig'alu, the last line of source 7, in Nisan we were redeemed, B'nisan asidin ligal, and in Nisan we will once again be redeemed. You know, Rabbi Shimon Schwab spent the Shabbos as a young man in the home of the Chafetz Chaim. He was a bachur in yeshiva. The Chafetz Chaim, this was in the year 1930, so the Chafetz Chaim, 3 years before he passed away. Okay, this is, the Chafetz Chaim was in his 90s. And a young Rav Shimon Schwab, who of course would later head the Breuer's Kehillah for many, many years, Rav Schwab says he spent Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim, and it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, just like this Shabbos, 1930. Parshas Vayakal Pekudei, I guess it wasn't a leap year that year. And the Chafetz Chaim said to Rav Schwab, you know, when the month of Nisan arrives, we have to start living with the possibility of Mashiach in a very real way. So Rav Schwab said, okay. The Chafetz Chaim said, no, let me explain what that means. In the month of Nisan, the possibility of Mashiach's arrival becomes a safek shakul. What does that mean, a safek shakul? Safek shakul means a reasonable doubt. You know, a person buys a lottery ticket, right? So, it's a safek. Maybe I'll win, and maybe I won't win. Right? Maybe I'll win the Mega Millions, win hundreds of millions of dollars. Maybe I won't. That's not exactly a safek shakul. The odds of you winning and the odds of you not winning are not exactly equal. But the Chafetz Chaim said, when Chodesh Nisan arrives, a Jew has to walk around as convinced that Mashiach is going to come to the same degree he has, you know, a possibility that it won't come. So what does that mean? That means you make decisions in a very real way in the month of Nisan. So if a person's traveling, a person's going away for Shabbos, right? And you're thinking, you know, what should I pack? You might want to take into consideration, well, you know, if I stay over Motzei Shabbos and Mashiach comes, so I should probably bring a few extra things because I might have to go straight from my family or from my friend's house to go straight to Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means to live with it as a tangible reality. Not just some far-fetched idea. A Jew always lives with the possibility of Mashiach. But when Chodesh Nisan arrives, says Rabbi Yeshua, Nisan Nigalu, in the past we got out, and in Nisan it becomes a reality once again that we're going to get out. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. In the Drosh HaSaran, in source number 8, he says, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. We paskin that the future redemption is going to take place in the month of Nisan. Okay, so Nisan's an exciting month. But can we pinpoint more precisely when the Geula is going to take place? Is all of Nisan created equally? Or maybe there's one day in Nisan that stands out. Says the Medrash Tanchuma in source number 9. Vayihimi Kesh Shloshim Shana. It was at the end of 30 years and 400 years, and it was on that very day, after 430 years, the Jews left Mitzrayim. Says the Medrash, Kishihigia HaKetz, when the time arrived, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hold them back, even Keharaf Ayin, not a second longer. When the time came for Klal Yisrael to leave, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, the Jews left Mitzrayim. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, the 15th of Nisan is not an arbitrary date in the Jewish calendar year. So many unbelievable things took place on the 15th of Nisan. On the 15th of Nisan, the Medrash says, that was when Avram first was informed that there's going to be a Galus Mitzrayim. The Bris Bein HaMitzarim. When did that take place? The Bris Bein HaMitzarim took place on the 15th of Nisan. On the 15th of Nisan, Sarah was informed that Yitzchak would be born. And on the 15th of Nisan, Yitzchak was born. Says the Medrash, B'tesva v'nisan nig'olu mi'mitzrayim. On the 15th of Nisan, we left Mitzrayim. And guess what? B'tesva v'nisan asidun li'gal b'shibud galius. And Mashiach is going to come on the 15th of Nisan. That means when we're sitting by the Seder, we're trying to make Mashiach a very, very real possibility. We believe, animam v'muna shleima, the Jews left on the 15th, and we're going to leave once again on the 15th. And everything that we're doing at the Seder is creating that possibility. You know, Rosh Hashanah time, our 4-year-old Meira came home, and she said, Daddy, I have a song for you. Right, dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. L'shana tova mesukah, have a sweet new year. Okay? So, I said, that's unbelievable. I don't have to, you know, I could save money, I have to buy a seat in shul on Rosh Hashanah, I don't have to put in all this time davening. All I have to do is dip the apple in the honey and make a bracha loud and clear. Then, l'shana tova mesukah, have a sweet new year. So what is that? The simanim on Rosh Hashanah is such a strange thing, no? You come to such a serious night, Rosh Hashanah, and you're davening, and tshuva, right? You're kicking off the Aseret Yemei tshuva, so serious, so pristine, so holy. And then you come, and you sit by the meal, and you take a piece of leek, and you say, if I eat this piece of leek, you know, then the following terrorist organizations are going to collapse in the coming year. Like, what is that? Shecharsu soneim shel Yisrael, because I ate a piece of leek. But what's happening? It sounds like very, very abstract, very strange. It's a Gemara, it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Gemara in two places. So the Chai Adam quotes the Ramban and says, here's how it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly trying to send certain things, create certain realities in this world. But the same problem Hashem ran into when he was trying to create the world, that he wants us to get involved. So Hashem says, listen, I need you to do a little something just to make it happen. You can give a simple mashal from Olam Hazeh. You have a friend or a relative on the other side of the world, in Eretz Yisrael, right? So you take your phone, or you click a button on a computer, and all of a sudden, you're talking to someone on the other side of the world. So what does it take to talk to someone on the other side of the world, and even to see their picture? You have to push a button. Now, obviously, we understand that there's many other things that are taking place after you push that button to establish that connection between you and someone thousands of miles away. But as far as you're concerned, what did you have to do? All you had to do was what? Was click a button. So it's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a whole system set up in order to send a Shana Tova Metuka and have a sweet new year. But what do we need to do? Says the Chai Adam, we just need to establish the connection. We just need to do our little part, which is what? Dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now you push the button and everything can happen. So at the Seder, that's what we're doing. We're pushing the buttons. We're, so to speak, opening up those conduits, those connections between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu to allow all of that bracha and all of that geula that's been put into place from the beginning of time to descend upon us. That's why you find a very interesting minhag. Yeah?
Sorry, so let's say once we're done with the Seder, does that mean we're not going to have to wait another year
So you're saying a Mashiach doesn't come. So we've just.
I would assume that, okay, we have to wait another year. Like, I just.
Right.
So here,
right. So here we've.
But I shouldn't really get raised until 15, because according to this midrash, she's not.
Right. So what does it mean? So it's interesting. The Talmidim of the Brisker Rav once asked him, "What does it mean? Ani mam buna shlema bevias haMashiach." That every single day a person has to live with the longing for Mashiach. But the Gemara says there are certain days Mashiach can't come. Mashiach doesn't come on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, do I stop thinking about Mashiach? What does it mean? Does that principle of our faith not apply on Shabbos? And again, if we have a specific date, a specific month, and even a specific date for Mashiach, so then what's going to happen? What's going to happen the rest of the calendar year? Maybe we shouldn't even think about Mashiach if it's not the Leil HaSeder. So they tell a story. They say that one time they asked the same question to the Belzer Rebbe. They asked the Belzer Rebbe. They said, you know, what does it mean to long for Mashiach all the time? There are certain dates that are auspicious for Mashiach's arrival. So what about the fact that the Gemara says that Mashiach can't come on a particular day? They were baking matzah with the Belzer Rebbe. It was before Pesach. And it was an Erev Shabbos or something. And the Belzer Rebbe said something about, I'm excited for Mashiach. And they said, Rebbe, the Gemara says that Mashiach can't come on an Erev Shabbos because Jews are too busy getting ready for Shabbos. So there's two different versions of the story. One version is that the Belzer Rebbe said, Mashiach should just come, and then we'll ask Mashiach the answer to that question. The other version of the story is that the Belzer Rebbe said, Mashiach should come and I'll give you the answer to the question. I mean, we'll work out the Chazal. It's like, we'll deal with the Gemara. Mashiach should come whenever he's ready to come. And we'll figure out, you know, you promised us in Nisan and Mashiach, he showed up in Tishrei. What's the story? Halavai Mashiach should come, and then we'll work out the Lamdus afterwards. That's what the Belzer Rebbe said. But yeah, of course there's a possibility. The Sam Rebbe had a different approach. He said, it could be that Tesvav B'Nisan is a calendar date. But again, there's an attitude of Tesvav B'Nisan. It's easiest to tap into on Tesvav B'Nisan. But it's also possible in some way to move time around within the calendar year, whatever exactly that means. But you're right. We can't put all of our eggs in one basket, so to speak, to bet on Tesvav B'Nisan. We have to always hope for Mashiach. But again, there's a real, real opportunity on the Leil HaSeder to come to the Seder with a different type of attitude than the rest of the year. That it moves from the realm of an abstract possibility to this can really happen and it's going to really happen. So what's the minhag that I was mentioning? The Sefer HaManig in Source 10 brings the following minhag. He says, there's a minhag b'kama mekomos she'ein noelin hachadarim she'yashena behen b'leilei ha-Pesach. Leave your doors unlocked on Pesach. You've heard such a minhag? One of the Rishonim, the Sefer HaManig. Leave your doors unlocked on Pesach. Why? Why am I leaving my door unlocked? You know why? Because ani mamin b'emunah shlema, that Mashiach is going to walk in my front door. Eliyahu HaNavi is really going to walk. Not like, you know, he's shaking the table so the wine spills a little. So he said, the kids, look, Eliyahu, drink from the... Right? But to believe, to live my life with the absolute belief that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to walk in, and I want to make it easy for him to get into my house. Ki b'nisan nig'alu, uvanisan anu asidin ligal. It's a Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. It's a Laila HaMishumar Uva Misheshes Yemei Bereshis. It's the intended night from the beginning of time. Says the Sefer HaManig where it's bolded, V'im Yavo Eliyahu Yimsa HaBayis Pasuach V'yetzin L'Krasa Meheira. Not only will he be able to come in, but we'll be able to get out the front door quickly. You don't have to, you know, be busy unlocking all the locks. V'anu Ma'amin B'zeh. And our very belief, exactly like we saw earlier, our very belief that Eliyahu will show up, uvischar zos ha'emuna nigael b'mehar b'meinu amen. By showing how real it is to us, that creates the reality. That it was the schar of the emuna of Klal Yisrael who once upon a time got out of Mitzrayim, and it's the emuna that we have, which will once again get us out of this galus. The Baal HaTurim likes to find words in Tanakh and count how many times it appears. So we'll say, you know, this word appears in the Masorah four times. Right? That means that this word appears four times in Tanakh, and we'll try to thread together those four places that a particular word appears. How many times in Tanakh does the word Shimurim appear? Twice. And it happens to be in the very same pasuk. In source number 12, the Baal HaTurim is going to comment on it, but the Chumash says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, it was a Leil Shimurim for Hashem, Lehotzia Meretz Mitzrayim. And then the pasuk goes on, Hu alayla hazeh laHashem, Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'dorosam. Shimurim, Shimurim. It's Shimurim for them once upon a time, and it's Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'dorosam. So you could say, okay, once upon a time they left Mitzrayim, and now we sit and we commemorate that they left Mitzrayim. It's much deeper than that. It's much more profound than that. They left Mitzrayim, and we're going to leave our Mitzrayim. We're going to leave our Galus. Says the Svarno in Source 13, on the final page. Says the Svarno, Ukimo Shahaya, where it's bolded. Ukimo Shahaya, Mishameru Mitzapel Gulas Yisrael, Kol Yamei Galusim B'Mitzrayim. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting, guarding, and longing, and hoping. You see, from Hashem's perspective, Mashiach's ready. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, met Eliyahu HaNavi. And he said, when are you coming already? He met up with Mashiach, he met up with Eliyahu. He said, when are you coming already? When am I coming? He said, Hayom im b'kolo tishmo, I'm ready to come right now. If you just get yourself ready, if you start listening to Hashem, I'm ready to come. So it was the same thing in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, when are they going to get out? When are they going to get out? Hashem says, I'm sitting here, and I'm Mishamer, and I'm Mitzapeh for the Geulas Yisrael. I'm longing, and I'm hoping for the Geula. And I'm just waiting for what? For you Jews to get ready. But says the Sfarno, it's the same thing right now. We're sitting here wondering, Hashem, come on already, it's 2,000 years, when are you going to get it together, Rabbeinu Shalom? Get us out of this mess. And Hashem says, you're asking me? I'm ready. I'm waiting for you now the same way I was waiting for you then. Says the Balaturim. Now we understand the Shimurim Shimurim. What are these two Shimurims? What's the Shimurim, the Leil Shimurim of then, and the Shimurim Lechol B'nai Yisrael Dorosim of now? Says the Balaturim in Source 14. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he identifies the word Shimurim appears twice in Tanakh. Shechalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leil Tesvav Lishnayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the night of the 15th and he divided it into two pieces. Chetzio l'geulas Mitzrayim v'chetzio asheni l'geula l'asid lavo. So when you're breaking that middle matzah, right, and you're thinking half of it was for now and half of it's for later, part of what we're saying, again, we're reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the idea of geula and he divided it up. Hashem gave us half of the geula once upon a time, but Hashem at that moment planted the seeds of the final geula. That it's possible on that same night, with that same amunah and that same attitude and that same absolute belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can and will do wonders for us, that in fact Hashem will do wonders for us. The Navi Micha says, "Ki meitzeis chamer tetzrayim erenu niflos." The Navi says, just like Hashem did unbelievable things to get us out of Mitzrayim once upon a time, so too you're going to see those same wonders once again. Rabbeinu Bachaya has, in several places, he says that just like there were 10 makos then, that was just practice. We're going to get the real 10 makos now. He says that the same 10 makos are going to repeat themselves. Just like the Pasuk says, Ki meitzeis chamer tetzrayim erenu niflos. Just like you saw wonders then, you're going to see it now. There's going to be dam and tzardeya and kinam. Hard to imagine such a thing. But says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, that's exactly how it is. That what was then is happening now. But it can only happen if we partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It can only happen if we say to Hashem that on the Leil Shimurim, as we're recalling the first side, the first half of the coin, so to speak, the first side of the Geula, we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're now ready for the second side of the Geula. We're ready to achieve the final Geula. And again, when we believe that, we create it. Our Muna creates. Mordechai was Omein Es Hadassah. He raised up. He nurtured. Emuna means to nurture something. We're nurturing the Geula through our belief. The famous Mishnah in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, tells us that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says he was Keshivim Shana, I was like a 70-year-old, and I had never said Yitzias Mitzrayim at night until Ben Zoma came along, and he said his famous drasha. Ben Zoma said, "Leman tiskors yom tzeischeres Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha." We mention Mitzrayim by day. Kol yemei chayecha. We mention Mitzrayim at night. Okay. The Chachamim come along and they said, "We read the pasuk differently. Remember Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha." Say the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Brachos, the end of Source 16. Chachamim omrim yemei chayecha haolam hazeh. Yemei chayecha means remember Mitzrayim now. Kol yemei chayecha. Lahavi Liyamos Mashiach comes to include that even after Mashiach comes, we're still going to remember Mitzrayim. We're still going to continue to think about Geulas Mitzrayim even after the unbelievable miracles of the final redemption. Rabbi Akiva Eger asked, what does it mean, Lahavi Liyamos Mashiach? It's a funny way to say what you're trying to say. What the Chum are trying to say is that Yemei Chayecha, remember Mitzrayim now, Kol Yemei Chayecha comes to include that when Mashiach comes, you should continue to remember. But Lahavi Liyamos HaMashiach is a strange... Lahavi? Lahavi means to bring. So we're what? We're bringing the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Mashiach? Well, it's a funny phrase. Rabbi Kiva Eger asked this question. So I saw in the Kamotzei Shaul Rav Haggadah, it quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Padua of Brisk, who gave a different answer, based on a Maharal. The Maharal, of course, the Maharal was one of the greatest Bali Machshava, one of the greatest minds of the last 500 years. The Maharal said the following. Hashem is eternal. That means that everything Hashem does is also eternal. So that means if Hashem saved us once upon a time, that's eternal. That salvation is always available to us. Hodu la Hashem ki tov, ki la'olam chasto. Hashem's chasid is forever. Anything Hashem does is forever. So therefore, what are we doing on the Seder night? What are we doing every time we remember Mitzrayim? It's lahevi li'mos ha-Mashiach. Lahevi doesn't just mean that we're including the continued remembrance of Mitzrayim once Mashiach comes. Lahevi li'mos ha-Mashiach means what? That by recalling what once was, lahevi li'mos, it brings us to Mashiach. It creates, Rav Yaakov Meir Padua of Brisk said, it creates the possibility of Mashiach. Every time we tap into, and that's what the Seder night is. Yes, all year round, there's a mitzvah to remember Mitzrayim. Every morning when we say Shema, we're remembering Mitzrayim. Every night when we say Shema, like Benzoma, we're remembering Mitzrayim. But more than that, by remembering Mitzrayim, we're tapping into that same energy. We're dipping the apple in the honey and making a bracha loud and clear to bring down that shefa of bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to pour down on our heads. So now let's go back to Mitzrayim one last time. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was negotiating with Moshe Rabbeinu, when we first began to think there's a possibility of getting out of Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe in the Sneh, and Moshe spends a whole week fighting with God, I'm not interested. I'm not taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim. And finally Hashem gets angry at Moshe and says, you have to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So in Perek Dal and Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Source 17, Moshe says, Rabbono Shalom, I'm not the man for the job. Just give up already. For a week, the Medrash says they were debating. Hashem says, you are the person. I'm not. You are. I'm not. For an entire week. Until finally, Moshe says to Hashem, just send the one who you want to send. Shalach na biyad tishlach. Send the one you want to send. What does that mean? So Rashi says Moshe was suggesting, why don't you send Aaron? Send the one you're accustomed to sending. Aaron has a relationship with the Jewish people. They don't like me. I grew up in the palace. I grew up in Paro's world. They don't know anything about me. They think I'm a traitor, a spy for the other side. Send Aaron. Aaron has a rapport with the people. Send Aaron a Kohen. Rashi says a second shot. Maybe Moshe was saying, you know, send whoever's going to take them to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to be able to finish the job anyway, so send someone who could take them all the way from Mitzrayim all the way to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe, understanding that he would never make it to Eretz Yisrael. But the Targum Yonasan says a very deep thing. The Targum Yonasan in Source 19 says, you know who Moshe said that should be the Shliach? Who should take the Jews out of Mitzrayim? What was Moshe saying? Shlach na biyad tishlach. Just send the one you want to send. Says the Targum Yonasan, why not take them out, Source 19 where it's bolded, biyad Pinchas dechome lemishtalcha b'sof yomaya. Why not send Pinchas? Now Pinchas and Eliyahu, there's a big Indian Pinchas and Eliyahu, they share the same neshama. Pinchas is a Gilgul of Eliyahu, Eliyahu is a Gilgul of Pinchas. Pinchas is a code word for send Mashiach. So Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are we wasting time with half a redemption? Why not redeem them fully? Send the one you're going to send in the end of days. It's the 15th of Nisan. This is the time for the Geula. Why not go all the way? Why not bring Mashiach? Send Pinchas, the one you're going to send B'Sof Yomai. You're going to send him anyways eventually. And Hashem said no. But again, Leil Shimurim. Shimurim. It says Shimurim twice. Which means Hashem agreed, I'll give you half the Geula. I'll give you half the Geula now. And I'm putting aside the other half of the Geula for later. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting it aside on that same very night, on that 15th of Nisan. The same way He took them out on the 15th of Nisan, and Moshe realized it and tried to petition Hashem, come on, let's finish the job, let's bring Mashiach. Hashem says, not yet. But again, the seeds were planted for the possibility of redemption. And therefore, when we come to the Seder night, it's so critical that we don't just sit there reliving the past, and we don't just sit there reminiscing about once upon a time what was. You know, you open up the Gadi Palak Haggadah, right, with those unbelievable pictures. And for the first time in your life, you're looking at a cartoon, but for the first time in your life, the story becomes real. You see that Egyptian with the grimace on his face and the whip in his hand. And you see the Alter Yid holding on to the thing with his hands all cracked and blood dripping down his beard. And you start to think, whoa, the Jews are really slaves in Mitzrayim. It's very real. But it's not just an appreciation of what once was. It's stopping to say, hold on a second, we're also in Mitzrayim. And there's a lot of things in the world that need a lot of tikkun. And we could really use Mashiach the way that they could. And then the Yitzhar comes to you and says, but you're not worthy. You know, what do you have to offer? So you say to yourself, but it's a chodesh shor Yeshua's bo makifos. It's a month where I can take a loan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the last thing the Jews did before they left Mitzrayim? What was the very last thing? The pasuk right before it says they walked out of Mitzrayim. What's the last thing they did? The pasuk says they borrowed from the Egyptians. They borrowed from the Egyptians? What were they borrowing? They're planning on giving it back? But this Indian of borrowing, this Indian of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, it's woven into the fabric of creation. When you created the world, you gave us on credit. So once again, give us on credit. Just bring Mashiach. You'll see it gives a nachas ruach to you, Rabbeinu Shalom. It'll be worth it for you. But we have to show Hashem that we're serious about it. We're living in a time where it's hard. And it's a longer piece that we really don't have time to develop right now, but I'll say it, I'll regal achas. I saw from the Majid Sarebi a very interesting thing. He says the four sons of the Seder correspond to the four exiles of Jewish history. So if we're in the fourth and final Gullus Edom, that means we correspond to which son? The She'eni Odei Elishol. She'eni Odei Elishol, says the Majid Sarebi, means the son who doesn't even know how to borrow. We don't even know how to borrow. What do you do to the She'eni Odei Elishol? See, in Mitzrayim, on the 49th level of Tumah, we still had enough, a drop of self-esteem left. Right? We had enough hope in ourselves to at least be able to come to Hashem and say, listen, Rabbeinu Shalom, I can't pay my bills. I need a lot of help. Help us out. Give us a loan. But we're living in a time now where sometimes we feel so embarrassed of our own behavior, of Klal Yisrael's behavior. The world seems so broken that we don't even feel that it's realistic to ask for a loan anymore. Eini Yodei Elishol, I don't even know how to ask. I don't even know how to borrow anymore. So says the Haggadah, At Pesachlo, Hashem, At, you. At is hinting to Hashem, Hashem, you, Pesachlo, you start the process. I can't offer anything anymore. The only thing I can offer is what? Is my emunah that I know you're going to save me. And the same way that those Jews in Mitzrayim held their Seder and believed Hashem would save them, I'm going to hold my Seder. As crazy as it seems to pretend to be free in such a crazy world, I'm going to hold the Seder, I'm going to sit with you, Rabbeinu Shalom, and I'm going to have a emunah and hopefully draw on the final redemption. Where is there a pasuk in the Torah that tells us to believe? Where do we get our emunah on imam b'emunah shleim b'vias ha-mashiach? Where does the Torah tell us that there's a mitzvah to believe in Mashiach? So you open up the Rambam and he's bringing all sorts of strange hints, a pasuk in Balak, strange things that Bilam is saying, by the Ari Miklat there's a hint. The Rambam's finding all these obscure psukim to try to, but why isn't there like a normal pasuk, I hate to say it that way, but why, right? Why isn't there a normal pasuk that says, believe in Mashiach? Comes along the Smak in the second to last source, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, and he says, there's a very normal source, teaches us to believe in Mashiach. What was the first thing the Jewish people ever heard from Hashem? They walked out of Mitzrayim, they had emunah, Hashem was going to save them, and they were saved. They came to Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to speak. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So we say, what is that pasuk telling us? I am Hashem your God, believe in God. The mitzvah of emunah, believe in God. Believing in the concept of a God. The Rambam codifies it as the first mitzvah of the Torah. But comes along the smack and says, finish the pasuk. The pasuk says what? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisich Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Says the smack an astounding thing. What does it mean, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim? Part and parcel in believing in God, Bechlal, to believe in God, included in believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is believing in what? Asher Hotzeisich Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That I took you out of the last exile and I'm going to take you out of this exile. You can't claim to believe in Hashem if you can't say the same Ani Mamin. Of course, we count them as two separate principles in the Rambam's Ani Mamins. But if you can't say Ani Mam b'Emunah Shleima that there's a God, and at the same time say Ani Mam b'Emunah Shleima that God still cares about me and He's going to redeem me, then I haven't fulfilled my obligation of Emunah. Write the Smag where it's underlined. Kishem Shani Rotze. Hashem was saying to us at Har Sinai, Kishem Shani Rotze Shta'aminu Bi. Shani Otzesi Eschem. The same way I want you to believe in me and believe that I was the one who saved you from Mitzrayim. Kach ani rotze shetaminu bi shani Hashem lokeichem v'ani osid lekabetz eschem ulshiachem. I want you to believe that I'm going to gather you in once again and save you once again. That is the mitzvah of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one with the mitzvah in believing in Mashiach. And therefore the Seder night, which is the night of Emunah, is not just a night of believing in Hashem. It's a night in believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save Klal Yisrael once again. and take us, may afeila la'or gadol, to once again redeem the Jewish people the same way he did once upon a time on the 15th of Nisan. We come to the final source. In the Shaila Torah, in the Brisk Haggadah, he brings that if you notice, the Haggadah begins a certain way and ends a certain way. It ends on the same theme that it begins with. Halach Ma'anya. We begin Halach Ma'anya, right? The centerpiece of the Haggadah, Magid. We begin Halach Ma'anya, and what do we say in Halach Ma'anya? Hashata Hacha Lashana Abba Ba'arad Yisrael. I start off by dreaming of returning to Eretz Yisrael. How does the night end? Lashana Abba B'Yerushalayim. So to speak, the book ends of the entire Haggadah is a longing for Yerushalayim, a restoration of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. So in the Shaila Torah Haggadah, he brings the Gemara in Brachos, that any area of Tehillim, any parak of Tehillim, any theme of Tehillim that David felt deeply connected to, he began with the word Ashrei and concluded with the word Ashrei. As if to say, this is very chashuv. So if the Haggadah begins with Hashata Hacha Lashon Abba Ba'arad Yisrael, and the Haggadah ends with what? Lashon Abba B'Yerushalayim. So then that encapsulates the whole Haggadah. That the entire Haggadah is not at all about just dreaming and reminiscing and remembering and reliving the past. But it's mamish believing in the possibility of the future of Klal Yisrael. That Lashona Abba B'Yerushalayim. That if we can just believe the way that they believed, when it seemed unrealistic to them, but they found the inner strength to have a Seder, and to continue to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and included in that belief is the belief that the God exists and He will save us. If we could do that again, if we can come to the Seder, and once again, even if we're even on a lower level, the Eino Yodei Elishon, At Pesachlo, I can't even ask from you, Hashem. The fourth Lashon of Gula, Velakachti, just come down and take me, just grab me, because I don't even know what to ask for. If we can have the Emunah to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to come to the Seder night, and to hope that it's entirely possible and entirely realistic, that Tesva of Nisan can be the Gula, the same way that it was the Gula, then Amir Tzashem, we will actually be Zocha to see the Gula Shlema this Pesach. Thank you.